Full lock. No deadbolt. I take a deep breath, close my eyes in concentration, and grab hold of the doorknob. I give it a shake. My thoughts move from head to heart to stomach. Everything is centered there. My grip tightens. My breath is held in anticipation as I try to envision the inner workings. Then I feel and hear a click in the hand holding the knob. A smile forms on my face. I turn the knob and the door swings open. I can't believe I can unlock doors by imagining what is inside of them. The kitchen is surprisingly clean. The surface is wiped down, the sink free of dirty dishes. A new loaf of bread sits on the counter. I walk through a narrow corridor into a living room with sports posters and banners on the walls. A big screen TV sitting in a corner. The door to a bedroom is off to the left side. I poke my head in. It's in a state of disarray. Covers thrown aside on the bed, clutter atop the dresser, the foul stench of dirty laundry covered in sweat that has never dried. At the front of the house, beside the door, a flight of stairs ascends to the second level. I begin walking up them. The third step groans under my foot.
"Hello?"
A voice yells from the top of the stairs. I freeze, holding my breath.
"Frank, is that you?"
I stay silent. I hear somebody stand from a chair, the creak of footsteps on a hard wood floor approaching. A man appears at the top of the stairs, dark shaggy hair, sideburns, an unshaven face. Not as big as the man who left earlier, but not exactly small either.
"Who the hell are you?"
he asks. "I'm looking for a friend of mine," I say. He screws his face up into a scowl, vanishes, and reappears 5 seconds later, holding a wooden baseball bat in his hand.
"How did you get in here?"
he asks. "I would put the bat down if I were you."
"How did you get in here?"
"I am faster than you are, and I am far stronger."
"Like hell you are."
"I'm looking for a friend of mine. He came here this morning. I want to know where he is."
"You're one of them, aren't you?"
"I don't know who you are talking about."
"You're one of them,"
he screams. He holds the bat as a baseball player would, both white-knuckled hands at the thin base poised to swing. There is genuine fear in his eyes. His jaw is tightly clenched.
"You're one of them! Why don't you just leave us alone already?"
"I am not one of them. I've come for my friend. Tell me where he is."
"Your friend is one of them."
"No, he isn't."
"So you know who I'm talking about?"
"Yes." He takes a step down. "I'm warning you," I say. "Drop the bat and tell me where he is." My hands are shaking from the uncertainty of the situation, from the fact that he has a bat in his hands while I have nothing but my own abilities. I'm unnerved by the fear in his eyes. He takes another step down. There are only 6 stairs between us.
"I'm going to take your head off. That'll send your friends a message."
"They aren't my friends, and I assure you, you'd be doing them a favor if you hurt me."
"Let's see then," he says.
He comes racing down the stairs. There is nothing I can do but react. He swings the bat. I duck, and it hits the wall with a thud, leaving a large splintered hole in the wood panel. I come up after him and lift him in the air, one hand gripping his throat, the other in his armpit, carrying him back up the stairs. He flails, landing kicks to my legs and groin. The bat drops from his hands. It bounces hollowly down the stairs, and I hear one of the windows break behind me. The second floor is a wide open loft. It is dark. The walls are covered with issues of "They Walk Among Us," and where the issues end, alien paraphernalia takes up the rest. But unlike Sam's, The posters are actual photographs taken over the years, blown up and grainy so that it is hard to make them out. Mostly white blips on black backdrops. A rubber alien dummy with a noose around its neck sits in the corner. Somebody has added a Mexican sombrero to its head. Glow-in-the-dark stars are stuck to the ceiling. They seem out of place. More like something belonging in a 10-year-old girl's room. I throw the man to the ground. He scoots away from me and stands up. When he does, I put all my power into the pit of my stomach and direct it towards him with a hard, forward, thrusting motion, and he goes flying backwards and crashes into the wall. "Where is he?" I ask.
"I'll never tell you. He's one of you."
"I'm not who you think I am."
"You guys will never succeed. Just leave Earth alone."
I lift my hand and choke him. I can feel the flexed tendons beneath my hand, even though I am not touching him. He can't breathe, and his face turns red. I let go. I'll ask again.
"No!"
I choke him once more, but this time, when his face turns red, I squeeze tighter. When I let go, he begins to cry, and I feel bad for him, for what I've done to him. But he knows where Henri is, has done something to him, and my sympathy ends almost as soon as it began. After he catches his breath, and between sobs, he says,
"He's downstairs."
"Where? I didn't see him."
"In the basement. The door is behind the Steelers banner in the living room."
I dial my phone number from the telephone atop the middle desk. Sam doesn't answer. Then I pull the phone from the wall and break it in half.
"Give me your cell phone," I say. "I don't have one."
I walk to the dummy and remove the noose from around its neck.
"Come on, man,"
he pleads.
"Shut up. You've kidnapped my friend. You're holding him against his will. You're lucky all I'm doing is tying you up."
I pull his arms behind him and tie the rope tightly around them, then tie him to one of the chairs. I don't think that it will hold him for very long. Then I duct tape his mouth shut so that he can't yell, and I sweep down the stairs and rip the Steelers banner from the wall, revealing a black door that is locked. I unlock it as I did the other. A set of wooden stairs leads down to total darkness. The smell of mildew reaches my nose. I flip the light switch on and begin walking down, slowly, terrified at what I might find. The rafters are littered with cobwebs. I reach the bottom and immediately feel the presence of somebody else. Somebody there with me. I stiffen, take a deep breath, and then turn. There in the corner of the basement sits Henri.
Henri!
He is squinting from the light, his eyes adjusting. A length of duct tape is across his mouth. His hands are bound behind him. His ankles tied to the legs of the chair in which he is sitting. His hair is tousled, and down the right side of his face is a line of dried blood that looks almost black. The sight of it fills me with rage. I rush over to him and rip the piece of tape from his mouth. He takes a deep breath.
"Thank God," he says.
His voice is weak.
"You were right, John. It was foolish to come here. I'm sorry. I should have listened."
"Shh," I say. I bend down and begin untying his ankles. He smells like urine.
"I was ambushed."
"How many are there?" I ask.
"Three."
"I've tied one of them upstairs," I say. I free his ankles. He stretches his legs out and sighs with relief.
"I've been in this damn chair all day."
I begin working his hands free.
"How in the hell did you get here?"
he asks. "Sam and I came together. We drove down."
"You're kidding me."
"I had no other way."
"What did you drive?"
"His father's old truck." Henri is silent a minute while he ponders what that means. "He doesn't know anything," I say. I told him aliens.